During the Great Recession, as millions of Americans lost their savings, their homes, their jobs, they began tightening their belts. The American dollar needed to be stretched further. Lack of confidence in the future meant shoppers were drastically changing their habits. And when it came to retail, stores had to adjust quickly. Some did, many did not. And many of those struggling retailers are no longer around 10 years later.
It's the final chapter for Borders bookstores.
Circuit City is done. The second largest electronics chain in the world is going out of business.
Toys R Us filing for liquidation and planning to close its doors after nearly 70 years.
You have to look at retail and recognize how intertwined it is with the consumer. Where the consumer goes, it tends to be where retail goes.
I spoke with Mark Matthews, VP of Research for the National Retail Federation.
It's survival of the fittest. In tougher times, you have to be particularly fit. You know, if you appeal to the customer and you give them what they want, you'll be successful. And that's the challenge for any retailer, you know, particularly in a time of recession. You have to be connected to your consumer and know what they want and be able to give it to them.
Thriving in the recession and post-recession retail space, stores and chains catering to deal seekers like Walmart. By 2009, discount chains Dollar General and Dollar Tree surged into the Forbes 500 Biggest American Brands list. Dollar General sliding up 15 places from the year prior to the mid-200s. Dollar Tree entering the list for the first time at $4.99.
So we saw a big growth in the number of people looking for deals, going to discount retailers. And, you know, we've seen that tail off to an extent, but, you know, some of that remains. You know, everyone loves a deal. In a way, I think the recession, you know, made both retailers and consumers, you know, aware that there's an opportunity both to sell at a discount and to buy at a discount.
By August of 2018, with the economy seemingly humming, the decade-long success continues. Walmart posting adjusted earnings of $1.29 a share, destroying second quarter expectations, revenues exceeding $128 billion, more than $2 billion over expectations. Stocks shooting up above $100 a share. But something else was at play around the time of the recession, a new tool in Americans' pockets that allowed them to deal shop at home, at work, even while in line at a store.
I think the advent of the iPhone and smartphones has really changed the dynamic.
David Plyer is co-CEO of Retail First Corp, based in Chicago.
Almost three quarters of young customers conduct research before entering a store. And that increase in customer knowledge has also inflated their expectations of not only the employees, but the stores they walk into.
Over his last 30 years, he's seen how retailers have handled technology.
And shoppers know a lot more than they did back then. Expectations, I think, were clearly lower. Now that online shopping has created such high expectations of quality and speed and service,
it's David's job to help entice shoppers at the brick-and-mortar locations.
We build store environments. So we build store fixtures, graphics, signing, and really the overall experience from the time you walk in to the time you walk out.
He's worked with numerous big-box retailers, some that have survived since the Great Recession, and many that have not.
What happened to some of those big-box retailers that have failed over the last decade or so? The Toys R Us, the Sports Authorities?
Yeah. Well, first off, is Amazon has risen. You know, traditional retailers were slow to meet the needs of digital customers, and they've lost a tremendous amount of market value as a result. I think these stores that failed, they stopped paying attention to what consumers wanted. But each of them had their own failures, like Borders. I can buy books and music online. That was probably the first thing that went. The only difference between Barnes & Noble and Borders is that Barnes & Noble had a bigger buying power, and they knew how to market themselves. Boston stores, which included Carson Perry Scott, it was like shopping in the 1980s in there. Mm-hmm. There was no experience. It was bulk sweaters. It was bulk socks. People really didn't enjoy that anymore. Why did Dick's survive and thrive, but Sports Authority, Sports Mart fail? It simply wasn't fun to shop there anymore. And typically, successful retailers transform themselves before they lose traction, and these retailers just didn't do that.
So when there is a dip in the economy, would you say that just kind of exposes the weak portions of
this? Absolutely. I think that's why we lost so many back 10 years ago during the recession. But I think now with retailing becoming so strong that the weak are starting to suffer and go away. There's some retailers, honestly, I cannot believe are still in business. Honestly, I thought Sears would be gone 2-3 years ago.
Welcome to Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg, Illinois, about 30 minutes northwest of Chicago, one of the largest malls in America, and to this day, one of the most successful. In fact, Woodfield Mall annually tops Navy Pier and Wrigley Field as the most visited place in Illinois. There's a Legoland, a Build-A-Bear, the surviving department stores, including Macy's and JCPenney, flank the edges of this sprawling concourse. And yes, there is even a remaining Sears here. Keep in mind, the Sears headquarters is just down the street. But while this mall is flourishing, about 13 miles away, Stratford Square Mall in Bloomingdale, Illinois, is fading.
Can I have some makeup?
Here at Stratford Square Mall, easily a third of the stores in the concourse are closed. Macy's, JCPenney, gone. Carson Perry Scott, a Bon-Ton store, has all items marked down 70 to 90% in a going-out-of-business sale. They'll shutter these doors before the fall. Shelving units, even mannequins, are up for sale. The products condensed to small racks at the entrance. Dozens of bargain hunters picking through what's left. Many of the retail spaces have been converted into kids' play spaces, party rental locations, and fitness centers.
Thank you very much.
So what is the future of America's malls? David Plyer, co-CEO of Retail First Corp in Chicago, has a rather grim forecast for mall rats.
Do retailers like the aspect of the standalone store now? It seems like, I don't want to say malls are failing, because there are malls that are very successful, but that style.
I think malls are a thing of the past. So lifestyle centers are really where the trend is, where you can walk outside, and not only is there great retailers in there, but there's also restaurants, there's also places to play. You can go see a movie, and I think that's what makes it a little bit more fun. I mean, I guess that's what the mall was way back when, but they're so outdated. Even from when you walk into them, you feel like you're walking into 1980.
It seems like there are certain success stories. Woodfield seems to be doing okay. Mall of America seems to be doing fine, but that seems like that's more of a shopping experience. You go there as almost like a tourist.
A destination.
Then, not too far away at Stratford Square.
Stratford Square. I can't imagine that mall's going to be around another 18 months. They're just desperate trying to fill it.
Is it just a matter of the big box, some of these big box retailers pulling out?
It's oversaturation. People aren't afraid to drive someplace. Like, they'd rather go to Woodfield.
But speaking via Skype with Mark Matthews, VP of Research for the National Retail Federation, he paints a more optimistic picture of the future of malls.
I think we have to be careful there. Retail exists where there's demand for shopping, and there are loads of extremely successful malls. Certainly, there are malls that were built in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that are older, of a smaller format, aren't quite as appealing as newer malls, and are suffering from competition, just like any other business.
One thing David and Mark both agree on, the rise of e-commerce won't put an end to the brick-and-mortar stores moving forward.
And a big mistake for a lot of retailers is they're so focused on the digital world that they've let their retail brick and mortars fail, and that's still the core of their business. And I think that's why a lot of these have gone away. But consider Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods and retail stores of Apple and Microsoft. They're running toward retail. They're not running away from it.
The trend we are actually beginning to see now is a lot of the pure plays who used to just play in the e-commerce space are opening stores. You have the glasses manufacturer Warby Parker. You've got Bonobos. You've got a bunch of different brands that have recognized, I think, that consumers still want to touch that, is part of the shopping experience.
And Mark says despite the rise of e-commerce, brick and mortar business is booming.
The challenge for retail right now is actually being able to hire enough people. We're heading into the holiday season, and we are in an extremely tight labor market. There are over a million more people working in retail now than at the end of the recession. So the jobs market is particularly strong, but it poses its challenges.
That's hopeful news to the handful of employees looking for work at this soon-to-be-closed Carson store.